Somewhere in Louisiana, there is a strawberry festival where all the adults, they dress up in red and they disguise themselves as strawberries and they parade around town. It's a little weird and it's a little wonderful. Somewhere in Indiana, there is a tractor parade. And they go into all the old barns and they find the oldest tractors in the entire world passed down through the generational farmers. And they find the brand newest tractors they can find and they drive the oldest and the newest all around town to highlight and showcase tractor technology. It's a little weird and a little wonderful. Somewhere in New York, they have this Macy's Day thing. And somehow they find and think about what random character can we blow up and make the world's largest balloon fly around the buildings, while meanwhile on the ground below, on the streets below, people can stop and burst out into Broadway musicals. It's a little weird and a little wonderful. I'm sure as I'm talking about parades, you're probably thinking about your own parade in your own town. That's a little weird and a little wonderful because every single town has parades, big or small, low budget, high budget. Everybody has a parade because it brings communities together. What's better than grown men in tiny little cars and kids stuffing their mouths with cotton candy? Parades are wonderful. And today is our turn. It's our turn to stand on the side of the road, to mark our spot, and to wait for a parade. But the parade we're waiting for is a little confused. The parade we're waiting for is confused because it has two purposes. Today is Palm Sunday, but it's also Passion Sunday. Today is a day where we begin our parade, not throwing beads, but waving palm branches with the chants, "Hosanna in the highest." Only by the end of the day, our chants will change to "Crucify him." We begin our day with a spirit of celebration and excitement, only to end our day with judgment and grief. We begin our parade into the village, only to end our day with a parade into the governor's courtyard. Today is the beginning of Holy Week. It's the beginning of those last sacred days. And so already as we are here, we're looking at Maundy Thursday, derivative of mandatum, mandatory. We remember on Maundy Thursday the meal that Jesus will have with his friends, and those friends who betray and doubt and deny him, that leads us to the place of Golgotha with a last word and a last breath on Good Friday, where we will sit in prayerful vigil on Saturday, waiting for what we know will come on Sunday. And today is the beginning of the parade. And it's a little weird. Mark 11 says this. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage in Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and we will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. And then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches where they had cut in their fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and he went and he looked around at everything as it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. A few Fridays ago, I was in a parade. I paraded into a city, next to another city, and I paraded and processed in the city of Griffin. I was so excited. I was celebrating my parade into Griffin, and people said, why? Why are you going? And I said, because the Lord needs me. I'll be back. And so I paraded into Griffin with my car full of food, full of supplies. I went to the meeting spot. I went to the village ahead of you. I found the colt. I untied the colt. So spread your cloaks and unload my trunk. When I got to the meeting place, I realized there were other people there, not quite 12. There were over 30 of us representing 9 different faith communities. And we were all gathered in the meeting spot to be a part of this long-term recovery effort in Griffin because the tornadoes a year ago that had hit. And as we gathered in Griffin, as we all gathered here in that village, we had all paraded and processed from all different parts of the state. And we began to hear about the 4 homes that were going to be a part of this weekend. We began to hear the exact work that needed, their stories of why, where their addresses were. We were broken into teams with team leaders, and then we were told, go. And every team paraded deeper into the village. I was in my team of about 7 of us, and when we arrived at Mr. Daniel's home, we paraded right through the front door, into the front room, into the area where we would work the day. And it was very evident that Mr. Daniels had been living with black mold, with mildew from the water. It was also evident that Mr. Daniels had been living with probably at least 1 raccoon, maybe 2. There were holes in the roof. And from the holes, the raccoons had come in and found themselves a happy place to live. It was also evident that the kitchen had not really been touched. Stove was full of pots and pans. The dishes were stacked in the sink. Food was on the table, almost probably when the storm had left. No one had touched other than to add takeout food to it. And so, to be quite frank, it smelled. There was a smell in the air. The air was soaked with it. It was also very clear to me that the supplies I brought were not appropriate. My little pink hammer and little pink screwdriver were not the tools I needed. Thankfully, my team leader was more prepared. I paraded out of the house, got my safety equipment, and paraded myself back in. With my equipment, I was looking around the hallway. It was clear what our job was. We were supposed to take out all of the drywall, all of the sheetrock. But I'm just standing there in the middle of it looking around. And I noticed one of our team members was already on a plastic chair, standing up, pulling down the walls. And they were just crumbling. And they were falling on the floor, these pieces with black mold. I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, those need to go to the dumpster. You need to start moving. So I bent down, and I scooped up all this drywall, and a transition happened. A change happened. I began a different type of parade. I carried the things in my hands, and I passed by the same exact things I did when I came in, but I had a different chant. I went from put me in team leader to why and how. I went from a spirit of excitement and celebration to a spirit of humility and grief. I went from a parade into the house to a different parade to the dumpster. And back and forth and back and forth I went. We start the day with a parade. Mark 14 says this. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me." And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to him, and said, "Take. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to him, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. So truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Our work that day was interrupted by lunch break. Apparently, the leader of the DARE Alliance insists that everybody take lunch breaks. And so I was pretty excited about the lunch break because I thought, finally, something I brought is going to be put to use, the food. Our team here at Roswell United Methodist Chapel Roswell, our team, Jacob and hospitality crew, they had made all of the food ahead of time. The lunch, the dinners, the snacks, the drinks, and it was in my car. So I was so excited that we were going to be able to use something that I brought. We all go back to the meeting spot. We're all gathered at the meeting spot, and we realize that the whole room that we walked into had already been prepared for us. It was a good thing because we were all a little tired, a little haggard, a little frustrated, and very hungry. And so since the room had been prepared, since the food had been prepared, we took our places at the table. Let me tell you who these people are. They're church kind of people. They're volunteer kind of people. They're preachery kind of people. They're denominational leaders kind of people. And everything in the middle. They're people with absolutely no skills, no skills. And they're people with construction skills. And all in the middle. And as we sat down and we took our places at this table, we began to eat and we began to visit and get to know one another and talk and laugh. But you know what else we did? We complained. And I led the charge. I was frustrated. Why do we have these limitations on us? Why can't we do more? Why do we have to just stop tearing the sheetrock in the hallway? Why do we have boundaries? Why can't we fix the kitchen? Why can't we take the plywood off the wall and actually put the door back that belongs there? Why can't I go on the roof, Leonard? Just because there's a professional roofing company coming tomorrow to replace it for free, why can't I go now and fix it now? Why do we have limits? Why do we have boundaries? Lord, I'm not denying you. I'm not betraying you. I'm not doubting you. But you're going to need to do something that I need you to do on my time, okay? I'm not denying you. I'm not betraying you. Not I, Lord. But really fix this, as I say. We start the day with a parade. We take our place at the table. The afternoon looked a lot like the morning, back and forth, taking out the old drywall. But then I got even more frustrated with my boundaries and limitations because it started to rain on me. And as I was standing inside raining, I realized that now there's a leak in the bathroom. And I say, hey, guys, we can't stop here. We've got to go to the restroom, too. We need to take care of the bathroom. Have you ever felt like no one is listening to you? Have you ever felt like nobody really understands your frustration? Have you ever felt like people are ignoring you or that you're being silenced? Or that you're going through something that you don't think anyone else understands? Have you ever been in a position where you just feel like you are suffering and no one is there? Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel like nobody really knows what you're living with? We took our place at the table and we heard the words of the covenant. This is my body, this is my life. This is my home, and I am thankful for it, and I am giving it to you. And we are dipping our fingers into the bowl together. We weren't there to fix Mr. Daniel's house. We were there to bear witness to it. Bearing witness to a life being rebuilt, to a faith being rebuilt, to a home being rebuilt. In God's hands, there are no limitations. Without even knowing it, somehow I had in my hands 8 gorgeous pieces of brand new, beautiful drywall, the gift of the parade. The gift of the village is presence. Recognizing God's presence gives you strength and gives you courage. And it's in that realization that a smell isn't so bad. What felt hard isn't so hard anymore. And in that realization of God's strength and God's courage and God's presence, we can pick things up and move them and carry them that we couldn't do the day before. A tomb that held destruction and devastation, death, weak floors, and water damage is also the very home of a miracle. Corrie Ten Boom, she's kind of famous. Corrie Ten Boom and her family, they actually gave home to Jewish families during the Holocaust. And along the way of her life, she had been honored many times. And at one particular occasion, they were giving her an honorary degree. And someone asked if they could interview her. And this was the one and only question of the woman who homed all people. Is it difficult remaining humble while hearing so much acclaim? Corrie Ten Boom replied, young man, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey and everyone was waving palm branches and throwing garments in the road and singing praises, do you think that for one moment it ever entered the head of the donkey that it was for him? If I can be the donkey on which Jesus Christ rides in his glory, I will give him all the praise all the days. That's what these day trips are really about. That's what Holy Week is really about. That's what every day is about. Being the one to bear Christ to someone else. Mark 15. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross, and it was Simon of Cyrene. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each would take. Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his breath. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, truly this man was God's son. There were also women looking on from a distance. And Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of a rock. And then against the door of the tomb, he rolled the stone. And one day we start with a parade. We take our place at a table, and we end with new life. And it starts today. And it's a little wonderful. Amen. Pray with me. Holy and gracious Lord, we come to you this day with such good intentions. We want to be better. We want to be serving. We want to be faithful. So continue to give us grace as we try to do all of it. And as we are trying to accomplish the many lofty and little goals that we have set for ourselves, be patient with us. Because when we make a mistake, or if we accidentally judge, or if we pick ourselves over someone else, help us to learn a different chant, a different spirit, and a different way next time. So forgive us and show us mercy. It is difficult now, too, to listen to many reports. There's so much hate and so much violence, and there's so many things to get us down. There's so many issues of politics and power, and even in our own circles. Even, Lord, if we don't understand the person in front of us, may we try. May we listen. May we ask. And may we love. And may that honesty and those conversations, may they begin to ripple into the larger parts of our world. And so be with us in all of it. For our own suffering, for our hurts, give us a friend to go through it with. For our own celebrations, may you give us family to go through it with. We offer every day, we offer every relationship, we offer every place to you. And Lord, may we remember as we enter in our homes, our friends' homes, may we say prayers. May we pass by homes, and may we pay attention. And may we have prayer for those who live in it and around it. And Lord, may we continue to use the ministries of this church to make this world a little safer, a little better, and a little more for you. May we be the very person that guides you out this place and into our community. We give you our lives now. Amen. Because it is Palm Sunday, we have these beautiful poems. As we sing our last song, I invite you to stand up. And if you want to come get a palm and wave it, please do.